Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
559 Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley behind the glass. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. That's a hop in on this Friday night, day after opening day. Always the built-in day off the next day in the Northeast. So no baseball tonight, no Phils tomorrow. They'll be back at it. Wheeler on the mound, game two of the series. So we got a lot of baseball to get into tonight. That's where I want to start. We'll get to some Eagles stuff later on, including Jalen Hurts changing his number. And my take on it, I think it is a drastic change for Jalen and an important change. So we'll get to all that. Jersey importance later on in the show. We'll chat with Elliot. We'll have the Phillies guests later on. So a bunch to get into, and even some talk on frustrating players and peanut butter and jelly, which I heard a lot about earlier as I was driving in some crazy traffic on 95. But I want to start with the Phillies because this happens, you know, opening day, we want to – I think we all try to put our best face on it. We say, we know it's just one of 162, right? All of us know that. We know it is one game out of a marathon of a season. So any sort of ridiculous overreaction to anything, and the good, the bad, the ugly, is crazy because it's one game. It's no different in reality than a game on May 13th. Like, what happened yesterday is no different than the game you might or might not watch on May 13th. But it feels different. Like, we can't pretend that. There's something different about yesterday, something different about the result of yesterday that, in a sense, sets a tone for the season. And let me take you back to the last couple years because I do think a tone was set two of the last 3 years on opening day. Now, was it the be-all and the end-all? No, but it was a tone. Think about 2018 opening day. What happened? Gabe Kapler took Aaron Nola out. No one could forget it. It was part of the broadcast yesterday. It's become the punchline of his tenure here. And ultimately, that manager really never lived that down in this city. That was a tone that was set from day one. First impressions last. Think about last year. Opening day, who'd the Phillies play after the long wait? They played the Marlins. And the Marlins came in here and won and beat the Phillies. And we were like, whatever. It's just first game. It's the Marlins. No, the Marlins kept beating up the Phillies. And the Phillies' bullpen that night was wild, couldn't throw strikes. And ultimately, that was an omen for the season. So 2018, opening day was an omen for the Gabe Kapler tenure and really that team. Last year was an omen for the entire season in which the Marlins were better than them and they couldn't get outside of their bullpen. So yesterday, if we kind of take that same idea of maybe yesterday was an omen, there's something there that I've been thinking about since last night doing the show. And when I woke up this morning, I'll say it this way. So, you know, we all made our predictions for the season. We had our bold predictions piece. Tucker had a bold prediction. I had a bold prediction.
Not everyone had a bold prediction.
All right, Tucker's been upset that the predictions weren't bold enough. But the bottom line is we all kind of put our predictions out there for the team. I did it in a variety of ways and areas and on the site and here on the air during the shows. And I think they're going to be above 500. I've thought that all winter long. I think the Phillies over-under is way too low at 80.5. Like, you could beat Vegas there and win because they're going to be a winning team. I believe that. But until yesterday, until we sat down and watched opening day, you know, I kind of stayed right in the middle of the 80s. Said, yeah, you know, they're an 84, 85 win team. They'll be competitive, but probably not good enough. And now back to just a 5-team playoff field to make the playoffs. But I got to tell you, forget what my head's been telling me for 2 or 3 or 4 months. I woke up this morning. You know what my gut was telling me? I watched a playoff team yesterday. The Phillies played yesterday like a playoff team. Like that looked, when you look at the box score and you look at who was out there, how they played, how they won, that looked like a playoff team. The Phillies have had a playoff caliber lineup. They had one last year. The Phillies were fifth in baseball and runs scored last year. They have a playoff caliber lineup. McCutcheon, Hoskins, Harper, Realmuto, Bohm, Gregorius, Segura, and whoever's in center field. That is a playoff caliber lineup. You could slice it, you could dice it, you could complain about one spot or another, but that's a playoff caliber lineup. When you have a guy like Gene Segura, who's been a good big league player in his career, you know, he's on the downside now, but he's been a good big league player and a good hitter. You know, they're in the number seven spot, ready to win the game in extra innings. They have depth on this team, and they have a good lineup. They have a guy in Alec Bohm who's coming into his own as, I think, going to be a difference-making guy in the middle of the lineup. Bryce Harper's a stud. You know, Rhys Hoskins gets on base. McCutch has been an MVP in this league. They have a real lineup, and they have a two-way catcher that's the best in the game. So they have that. We knew that already, and yesterday it showed. I mean, they were working Max Fried. You know, the pitch count was rising. They're going to be a grind for opposing pitchers. Yesterday, they threw an ace out there in Aaron Nola, who, until one bad pitch, shut down one of baseball's best offenses in the Atlanta Braves. Like, he did exactly what you hope your ace does, which is pitch really well. Six strikeouts, no walks. So they had that. And then yesterday, the Phillies had something that they were missing last year. And I want to bring this point up because I think when we talk about expectations for the Phillies and just how good they could be, this is like the one thing I always come back to. Last season, do you know how many teams had leads in more games than the Phillies? One team. Just one team in baseball had leads, held a lead at some point of the game more times than the Phillies. That team was the Dodgers. Like, just for a second, think about that. That means the Phillies had leads in games more often than the Braves, than the Padres, than the Yankees, than the Rays. Like, the Phillies owned leads in games more often than anybody but the Dodgers last year. Of course, the Phillies went under 500 because their bullpen was historically bad. So I think yesterday what they did, and it wasn't perfect, and it took some defensive plays, and you know, it wasn't like, you know, without any sweating, as we obviously sweated out the Alvarado inning in the eighth. But the Phillies bullpen yesterday went 3 1/3 scoreless. That just didn't happen last year. Like, here's what yesterday's game was. Without a doubt, that was a game the Phillies lose last year. They would have lost that game last season, probably by 3 or 4 runs when it was all said and done. But the Phillies would have absolutely lost the game yesterday. There's no question in my mind. And yesterday, thanks in large part to Archie Bradley and Jose Alvarado and Connor Brogdon, who was, you know, kind of part of last year, but he was basically at the alternative side all year, came up for a brief period, and then came back at the end. Now he's part of this thing. So three different relievers, you know, two brand-new guys, one that's now a big part, and then Neris. Like, it's a revamped bullpen. And it's one yesterday that did something that, quite frankly, they couldn't do last year. And last year, the Phillies won just one game when their starting pitcher left in a tie. They matched that already after yesterday. The Phillies, when I look at them yesterday, and I think about that game, and I think about how they won and what they did, that felt like a playoff team. And my gut feeling tonight, as I'm going to call myself out and overreact after opening day, my gut feeling is the 2021 Phillies are a playoff team. 215-592-9494. Look, we've all made predictions. We all have a thought or a number in our head of how many games this team could win. They win on opening day. It was an awesome day. The crowd is there. We talked to people last night on their way home from the game, which was so cool to do that after a summer last year of not being able to do that after any game. So yesterday was a special day in Philadelphia sports. It was special, I think, for the Phillies themselves, the players, to play in front of fans again. But it also showed me that there's something different about this team. It's one game. It's one day. It's just opening day. And maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm an overreactor. I think I'm going to be told that in a second here. But the bottom line is this. My head has told me for a couple months this is an above 500 team, but probably not good enough to make the playoffs. But I woke up this morning, forget what my head says. My gut told me, I just watched the playoff team yesterday. That's what a playoff team looks like. A top of the rotation pitcher like Aaron Nola. A deep lineup like the Phillies have. And a bullpen that could get out. Like, most bullpens are not perfect. Like, every bullpen has an Alvarado kind of guy that's going to make you just get worried when he comes in, but he could perform. I mean, like, if they can line up Bradley, Alvarado, Neris, Brogdon, we haven't even seen the other guys, but just those four in games they have leads, I think they're going to win most of them. 215-592-9494. Gut feeling after the opening act yesterday. Do you believe the 2021 Phillies are a playoff team? Like, we haven't had a playoff team to look at around here in a very long time. And 2011 was a long time ago. I mean, think about what you were doing in 2011 compared to what you're doing now. It's an eternity ago, just in life, but certainly in sports. And I'm watching the Phillies yesterday, and for the first time, I believe since 2011, I sat there and watched them like, you know what, this looks like one. even in 18 and 19, when I thought, you know what, okay, maybe they get over the hump this year. There were holes throughout the roster. Guys that didn't belong on the 40-man roster. Guys that really didn't belong here. And we were kind of hoping it didn't matter. But of course it matters. It's baseball. Your holes are exposed pretty quickly by opponents if you have them. So the weak links on the 2018 and 2019 and 2020 Phillies were just too much for the Stars to overcome. And now you're looking at a team that has the Stars, which they've had for a couple years. They have a deep lineup. They have an ace at the top of the rotation and two more guys after that I'm excited to watch this weekend. And now it might be the missing piece to all this, which is a bullpen. And they have a general manager in Dave Dombrowski who's won everywhere he's been. And I trust that guy. Like, do I think the Phillies are going to be a sustainable winner for 10 years after Dombrowski's left because he's left them the greatest farm system in baseball? No, that's not what this guy does. But he does come in to almost every situation he's ever been in, from Montreal to Florida to Detroit to Boston, and he fixes teams, and he wins. I mean, he wins and wins and wins. So I'm looking at his track record, what he did with the bullpen, the star power they have, the fact that yesterday was just such a different omen than, let's say, the 2018 opening day or 2020 opening day that really did foreshadow the issues of those seasons way before we could have imagined it on opening day. And I sit here and I say, my gut feeling is, after opening day, the Phillies are a playoff team. 215-592-9494. What's your gut feeling on this team after opening day? Do you think we have a good one? Do we have a playoff team? Or have I gone crazy? Tucker?
I mean, I sit here and I find it interesting. And knowing you, Joe, I know you didn't omit this purposefully, but when you listed the issues this team has had on opening day, you seem to omit 2019 opening day. You seem to omit when the Phillies went and beat the same exact Braves team 10-4
beat them up
at home, right?
Like
they kicked this team's butt up and down Citizens Bank Park that day, right? Reese Hoskins hit a grand slam. Andrew McCutchen hit a home run to lead off the bottom of the first inning. Aaron Nola went six innings, allowed two runs at eight strikeouts. Bullpen between Hector Neris, David Robertson, and Pat Neshek shut the door. And that team didn't make the playoffs.
They did not. They actually swept the Braves that weekend.
And watching the team yesterday, my mind hasn't changed. Guys performed at, like, nothing about yesterday was revelatory to me. I didn't see Aaron Nola turn a corner. I saw the Aaron Nola that we've seen a lot where he's good. He can be really good. He can be great sometimes. But he has a tendency to come up a half inch short sometimes, right? He has a tendency to make that one mistake at the end, and instead of punctuating a great performance, you go and say, well, he was good, but he had that one mistake, right? Bryce Harper didn't exactly set the world on fire. JT Realmuto had a good day. He went 2-for-4, obviously had that great tag in extra innings. And then Gene Segura hit a little chopper to win the game. The team I saw play yesterday, they won, and that's great, and we're excited they're in first place, 162-0. It is still in the realm of possibility.
That's damn right it is.
But I didn't see anything yesterday that made me change my mind.
So your gut feeling is no.
My gut feeling is they're the same team I thought they were yesterday when I woke up.
All right, let me hit this. 215-592-9494. Your gut feeling after opening day, is this different? Are the Phillies different? Is this a playoff team? Because we've had these emotions and feelings and hopes for a couple years now where they've gotten off to good starts, or they've had, you know, expectations, and they've fallen flat. This team feels different to me. Now, let me address why I left out 2019. I mean, first of all, did it help my argument? No. Second of all, a couple things. There was something about that 2019 team where we decided to omit their weaknesses and pretend they weren't there. So that you're right. I mean, Tucker's right. Look, they blew the Braves out of the building for 3 days. They swept them. They got up to a 3-0 start, actually 4-0. I was down in D.C. for Bryce Harper's homecoming. They were 4-0. They were the talk of baseball. But guess what? Three of the eight hitters in that lineup were Cesar Hernandez, who's a pretty good player, Michael Franco, who's not a good hitter, and Odubel Herrera, who's on the downside of his Phillies career at that point. This lineup is better. This lineup is deeper. Like, this lineup has Gene Segura winning the game at 7. The other part of 2019 that is relevant compared to this year, do you remember who started the second game of that season, the number two starter that year? It was Nick Pivetta. The Phillies will throw Zach Wheeler tomorrow. So, like, they had Pivetta.
Did Nick Pivetta not make an all-star team that year?
Pivetta?
Yeah.
No. Pivetta?
Yeah, I was told Nick Pivetta was going to be an all-star that year.
No, he was not an all-star that year.
Odd.
You were told he was supposed to be. The Phillies thought he would be, and he stunk. Okay, so they had Pivetta as their number two starter. This team has Zach Wheeler as their number two starter for tomorrow's game. So that's why I feel better about this team. 215-592-9494. Let's talk some Phils. Opening day yesterday, they win in walk-off fashion. I love the extra inning, you know, the whole thing. I mean, that was just so exciting to watch the way they won that game and the runner on second base extra innings, which we got a taste of last year. But yesterday was all across baseball. Basically five games went into extras yesterday. I loved it. And I look at the Phillies and I say, I understand why the projections are the projections. I understand why the Atlanta Braves are the favorite. I understand why, you know, Vegas over-under says low 80s, not closer to 90. But the team I watched yesterday, the lineup that I watched yesterday, the pitcher that was on the mound yesterday starting that game, and the bullpen, who finally looked competent yesterday and could throw with velocity and strikes, that looked to me like a playoff team. 215-592-9494. That gets you bored here on this Friday night. What's your gut feeling? Opening act is in the books. It is one of 162. But the way I feel about this team as I woke up this morning, it just feels different. Like that's the feeling I can't shake. There's something different about what I watched yesterday. I hope the first game was an omen. And I really believe this team is better than the other few versions we've seen the last couple of years. This feels to me like a playoff team. Tucker thinks I'm crazy. Let's see what you guys think. 215-592-9494. Let's go to the phone lines. TJ is in Tabernacle. Hey, TJ.
Yo, what's up, Joe?
TJ, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, man. I was just listening to hear you talking about the Phils. What do you think Harper's going to do this year? You think he's going to have, what, 30, 35 homers?
Yeah, I think so. So I think he's hit, on average, about 37 per 162 games played as a Philly, right? Say the one full year, and then last year was a short season. So, yeah, I mean, I think so far as a Philly, he's been around a 35 homer guy as long as he's healthy. I think we get 35 to 40.
There you go. All right, Joe. Well, what do you think? Philly's in the playoffs this year?
TJ, I'm feeling it. Listen, I have a gut feeling on this one. This just feels different to me.
I know. I hear you. And I agree. Go Phils. Go Eagles.
You got it, TJ.
Love you, Joe. All right.
Appreciate it, TJ. See, TJ gets it. He's got the gut feeling, too. Your gut doesn't lie. Tucker over there is using his head, trying to tell me about 2019. My gut feeling says that felt different yesterday. Maybe I'm just so, beaten down from watching that bullpen last year that watching them put up zeros felt to me like it was like finding buried treasure. Like, what is this? This is gold. A zero came across the board in the seventh and the eighth and the ninth. And the 10th, that didn't happen last year. Let's just say it like this. Tucker, percentage chance they win that exact game yesterday. Last year, 5%, 3%, 0.
Where you need 3 1/3 from your bullpen scoreless?
No way.
0.
There's no way. So they already have one win, and it's a longer season. But they already have one win that they just wouldn't have had last year. 215-592-9494. Gut feeling on this Phils team after watching the opening act. Do you think this is different? We've had a lot of Phillies teams the last couple of years that have had expectations that we've gotten excited about at different points. Like, wow, 2018, they got off to that good first half. They were in first place. 2019, Tucker mentioned that first weekend against the Braves. They swept the Braves. They go down to D.C., and they beat the Nationals. I was there with all the fans of Philly crowd. It was awesome. Bryce Harper, we took over Nationals Park. We chanting, we got Harper. They're 4-0, bus ride home. We're thinking playoffs, and then they went on to stink for the next 5 months. Last year, expanded playoffs, Joe Girardi. There's no way they missed the playoffs this time. And they actually had their worst winning percentage since 2017. So we've been fooled before. But this just feels different. Like, I don't see the holes that I saw and really tried to ignore in other teams. And they did something yesterday that was the one Achilles heel they had for all of last season, which was actually put up zeros out of the bullpen. This feels different. My gut feeling is telling me we're watching a playoff team. 215-592-9494. Tucker thinks I'm crazy. Let's see what Mike in D.C. thinks. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. I don't want to be a little pessimistic here, but I don't see a playoff team yet. And I don't believe in our 4-5s. I don't think those pitchers, a good test for them against the Mets, but I don't feel that. And that division is, as we know, we talked about, rock solid, jumping over the Mets. I still feel the Nationals are a quality team. I don't think we're going to make the wild card. I do not feel – I think our best path maybe is to win the division.
Well, I mean, Mike, you're totally right about the 4-5 pitchers. There are question marks for the Phillies with Anderson and Matt Moore, and we'll get to see them the beginning of next week. But I think every team has question marks with the back end of their pitching, right? Like that's a reality of most teams. Most teams don't have rock solid 4 and 5 starters.
Right. And we're sold on a lot of talk. We're sold on Eflin. Over a full season, I don't know. We see the Eflin, he's good for the first, maybe month or two of the season. Then he kind of goes down a little bit of a spiral. So I'm not told on Eflin at all.
Well, he's been the ultimate tease because he's had months. I mean, there's been months in almost every season where he's as good as anybody. And then he just falls apart or he gets hurt. They need him, Mike, for a full season this year.
Absolutely. And do you guys see him making any moves at the, do we have enough money to make any moves? We have the money, but halfway mark. Do you think we'll do anything?
Well, see, Mike, I think that's the X factor, and I appreciate the phone call, Mike. They have Dave Dombrowski now. If there's one thing about Dave Dombrowski, he never sits on his hands. Like that guy is going for it every year. He has a competent team. It's part of the reason why when he leaves places, they don't have very good farm systems, and they kind of need to retool or rebuild when he leaves. So they could talk all they want about a long-term plan and sustainability, and I doubt they would trade their number one overall prospect, who's probably Mick Abel at this point, the pitcher that took them last year's draft. But do I think the Phillies will make a move or try to fill a hole come July if they're in this thing? There's no question in my mind. They have Dave Dombrowski. I mean, he's won a world championship in Boston. He won one in Miami. He got the Tigers to the World Series. Like, this is what the guy does. He goes for it. So, yes, I do think, and it's part of my thinking on this, that the Phillies will fix or try to fix whatever hole they have, and they actually have a GM that could do it. Like last year, Matt Klentak tried to fix the bullpen. It actually got worse after he tried to fix it because Matt Klentak didn't know what he was seeing. He didn't know how to fix holes with competent trades. Dombrowski will. 215-592-9494. That is how you get aboard. I woke up today after making my predictions for the season, about a week ago and saying, 84, 85 win team. They're pretty good, but not good enough. And I watched the game, thought about the game. Like, listen, that looked like a playoff team to me yesterday. That looked to me like having the elements of a playoff team, a deep lineup with a seven-hitter like Segura that could win the game in extra innings, a top-of-the-rotation guy in Aaron Nola who pitched really well against one of baseball's best offenses. And then the missing element to all this was the bullpen that we felt great about and all the moves they made. It had to be better. But to watch it in action, that felt different. It was zeros on the board, 3 1/3, scoreless innings, a pitcher throwing 100 miles an hour in the eighth. We didn't have that. We haven't had that around here for a long time. My gut feeling after opening day, the Phillies are a playoff team. Agree, disagree. 215-592-9494. That is how you get aboard on this Friday night. We got a lot to get into, including players that frustrate us. No matter what they do, good or bad, they are just like they make you pull your hair. We'll get into that and your thoughts on the Phillies. Do you believe, is your gut feeling telling you this is a playoff team? Is this year different? 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard on Sports Radio 94 WIP. 627 Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley behind the glass. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. We got a lot coming up on the show later on. Elliot Shore Parks. We'll talk to Bob Wankel on the Phils, Elliot on the Eagles. Jalen Hurst changed his number today, which means nothing but means everything at the same time. So we'll touch on that. And of course, mock draft media later on. But we're opening with the Phillies off the opening day win yesterday. And really just my gut feeling as I woke up this morning and really thought about the game, how they won it, their lineup, the defense they played for the most part yesterday was game-changing defense. The performance of Aaron Nola, which I thought was very good. I'm not going to beat him up over a 2-run home run of Pablo Sandoval in the seventh inning. He pitched well against a really good Atlanta Braves lineup. And then the bullpen, which, they lose that game last year. There's no other way to say it. They lose that game last year. And my gut feeling is that this is a playoff. The Phillies are a better team than almost any projection says, and I think they have a real chance to be a playoff. I feel like I watched a playoff team yesterday. This franchise has fooled us before. It's been 3 years now, 18, 19, 20, where expectations at some point picked up. And we're like, you know what? Maybe this is the year. Maybe this is where the drought ends. You know, the Phillies have the longest playoff drought in the National League? Longest. Only the Mariners have a longer playoff drought in all of baseball. So this is a real thing. Like, they haven't been in the playoffs since 2011. And the team I watched yesterday, as I go through it, I'm like, McCutchen, Hoskins, Harper, Realmuto, Bohm for a full season, Didi in the sixth spot, Segura in the seventh spot. You get what you get out of center field in the eighth. Like, that's a lineup. And if the bullpen could be close to what it was yesterday, and you have four guys you could trust or rely on or feel good about, I think they've got enough. I believe, and my gut's telling me, this is different. Do you think so? 215-592-9494. That is a Yacht Board Talks with Phils here on a Friday night after opening day. Rich is in Sellersville talking to Phillies. What's up, Rich?
All right. Thanks for getting me on, Joe.
Yes, Rich.
You are right on again with the Phillies.
It feels different, doesn't it, Rich?
Yes, it does. And you keep taking all my points. You talked about they got rid of Klintak, okay? That was a helpful hint.
Yes, of course. Yeah, and look, they have a GM now, knows what he's doing around here.
Exactly, and I think the Eagles should take heart to that.
Well, it helps, right? When you feel you could trust the person who's in charge, it helps a lot.
It does. It really does. And I couldn't believe Johnny was given bad vibes for that one ball to Sandoval.
Oh yeah, he's hard. Marks, he's hard on Nola. He's a hard grader when it comes to Aaron.
Hit the ball. If you make a mistake, the guy can pound it.
Oh, he's done it forever. He's the Kung Fu Panda. He's been hitting that ball for 10 years.
He's been around forever. Okay, he made a mistake, but he's really hard. He really harped on that today. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, and look, the way I look at it is this: he had 6 strikeouts yesterday, no walks. So it wasn't like the whole game there were base runners on and he was getting out of jams.
Yeah,
I mean, he was in control of that game. Yeah, he controlled that game.
One more thing.
Yep.
The peanut butter and jelly stuff today.
Yeah, what do you think? You're a peanut butter and jelly guy?
Were you the one that like pickles on your peanut butter and jelly? And I said with the chips on top.
Oh, so I don't do it with the jelly, but yes, I've had a pickle and peanut butter sandwich. Love those.
Okay, well, I was just see if I said put chips on it also.
Oh, the chips are great. Listen, and today is, and Rich, I appreciate the call. Today is National Peanut Butter and Jelly Day, which is a great day. Now, I was listening to Ike and John on the way in. I know Ike, he got under the skin of the peanut butter and jelly people out there. I guess he's not part of the peanut butter and jelly community anymore for whatever reason. I still love peanut butter and jelly. So I my kids are 6 and soon to be 4. So I'm often making peanut butter and jellies in the kitchen at lunchtime or the night before we send them to preschool or kindergarten or whatever. So I eat peanut. I think I eat more peanut butter and jelly now than I did when I was. I mean, since I was a kid. Like, there's probably a long period where I didn't eat much peanut butter and jelly. Like, I don't know, my late teens into my 20s. I'm back. I'm in the peanut butter and jelly club again. So let me throw this out there. We can have fun with this tonight. We call and you give me your ideal peanut butter and jelly. So here's how I do mine. This is like now you don't have to have it perfect because all peanut butter and jelly is usually pretty good. But if I'm having my ideal peanut butter and jelly, it is creamy peanut butter, strawberry jam, and wheat bread. That's the way I would do it. Sometimes I might throw some bananas on there, maybe some Nutella or chocolate for a little extra flavor. But for the most part, it is peanut butter, creamy, strawberry jam, wheat bread. That's the way that's my go-to peanut butter and jelly. Tucker, yours?
Nah.
What do you mean?
I mean, nah, I'm not interested.
You don't eat peanut butter and jam?
Nah, I never have.
What do you mean never?
I mean, I never have.
But you were a kid in school. What'd you have for lunch?
I used to eat yogurt a lot.
All right, yogurt's fine.
I had a thermos. My mom used to make me SpaghettiOs and put it in a thermos.
I could see that.
I would eat, like, turkey sandwiches. And then when I got to high school, my mom would give me a $10 bill every day before the week and say, good luck.
So you just never been a peanut butter and jelly guy?
No, like, I'll eat I like peanut butter. I'll eat a peanut butter sandwich. Like, I eat peanut butter crackers all the time. Like, I have sleeves of Ritz crackers strewn about my house.
All right, but listen, let's play along here. If I say to you, you have to go make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and eat it, what are you doing?
I don't know. I've never had to do that. That's a foreign concept to me.
So wait, like, just let's, for the audience, just one time. Have you ever had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich?
No. And I've never been interested.
It's National Peanut Butter and Jelly. Today's the day to
congrats.
Be interested. No, congrats. I'm having one when I get home tonight. 215-592-9494. Phillies looked to me and felt to me like a playoff team yesterday. That felt different yesterday. I know we've had years of where they've teased us. There's been some talent here, expectations, hot start, whatever, and they fall on their faces. Last year was ridiculous with the bullpen. But yesterday combined all the elements. I mean, their batting order yesterday grinded down Max Fried. I think he had 94 pitches through 5 innings. I mean, that's grinding on a starting pitcher. So they took pitches. They fouled pitches off. They grinded an opposing starting pitcher. They had a good start. I'd say a very good start from their starting pitcher. They had clutch hitting. They put the ball into play with guys on base like JT or Boehm or, of course, Segura. They played good defense, made game-changing defensive plays. And the bullpen, which wasn't just bad last year, was the worst that any of us have ever seen in our lifetimes and probably ever will again. Had 3 1/3 scoreless innings. The Phillies won one game last season, just one, where they took their starter out in which the game was tied. They matched that after one game. My gut feeling's telling me tonight, we just watched a playoff team yesterday. The Phillies are better than the expectations. Agree, disagree. 215-592-9494. And when you call in, give us your ideal peanut butter and jelly sandwich. It's National Peanut Butter and Jelly Day. I go strawberry jam, creamy peanut butter, wheat bread. That's all I need. Tucker's never had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I mean, I don't even know what to say about that. Let's go to Bruce in D.C. What's up, Bruce?
Hey, what's going on, Joe? How's it going?
Bruce, doing well, buddy. What's on your mind here? What are you thinking?
Hey, look, man, I'm enjoying the peanut butter and jelly discussion, too, so I got a little insight on that. But going to the Phillies game, I agree with you 110%. I really like the fact that, the pitching was clicking for the most part. I mean, Nola had a slip up. I just can't understand the reason why he decided to throw him a fastball on an 0-2 count when he's got other pitches that, but it's a learning lesson. I think he'll never make that mistake again. But going back to the bullpen situation, if they had won just half of the games that they blew last year, they would have been in the playoffs. So, and one of the things that I was really stoked about was the fact that they signed Realmuto, and he showed yesterday why it was so important to get him back as a player. And our lineup, our batting lineup, is amazing from top to bottom. I mean, we got weapons.
Well, they do, so, and they have depth in the lineup. And when you have a guy like Segura, Bruce, hitting seventh, I mean, he's not the player he was, let's say, 5 years ago, but he's still a good hitter. And for seventh, I mean, that's
– Absolutely.
And he won the game. And Bruce, when it comes to JT, I mean, you saw it yesterday. He's such a good all-around player. Like, he puts the ball in play to score the one run on the ground ball, and then the block the plate in the 10th inning. I mean, that's why he's here. That's why he's the best catcher in baseball.
Absolutely, absolutely, and I tell you, man. I mean, just hats off to the Phillies management for just completely transforming that bullpen. I think that, you know, if the pitchers now, we still need to see the pitching rotation.
Well, we do. We need to see the whole thing. We need to see all five starters and the whole thing to play itself out. But one day in, that's just, it feels different, Bruce. It just feels like this is going to be a different outcome. Bruce, what's your ideal peanut butter and jelly sandwich?
Oh my goodness. Okay, so look, I like creamy peanut butter, but however, and I'm a strawberry jelly fanatic. I mean, I do the grape, but strawberry is my thing. But it has to be strawberry preserves. I like the more expensive, because every summer we used to go to North Carolina, and my aunt would give us, she would make strawberry preserves from her garden. And we would take that back for the wintertime, put them in a mason jar. Oh, my God, we had preserved jelly all winter. So
Bruce, I've had that. So my wife and her friends, way back in the day, they used to do this, like, they used to go pick strawberries.
Yeah.
And they would have, like, a day where they would jam. And then I would have jam in my freezer for the whole winter. It was amazing. It's the best.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Got to do the strawberry preserves. That's strawberry preserves, standard peanut butter and jelly, spread, and hey, I'm good to go. I'm happy.
Bruce, love it, man. See, Bruce gets it. Appreciate the phone call. 215-592-9494. You stash away the preserves all winter, and then you have them whenever you want them. You pop open a jar, make yourself a peanut butter and jam, or just for toast, whatever.
What is this, Little House on the Prairie?
Why not? Yes. I mean, you're the ones with the thermos, walking around with a thermos. Like, you know what you've got.
Yeah, I didn't store it for the winter.
No, but if you like something, you keep it at the temperature you want to keep it, and then eat it when you feel like it. It's the same thing. It's like you make something, you keep it in the freezer, and it's there ready for you. I'm going to bring you a peanut butter and jelly sandwich next week. Will you eat it?
No. You'll watch me throw it in the trash.
No. I mean, just hand it back to me. I'll eat it. If I'm making you one, I mean, you better not throw it away. 215-592-9494. Linda is in Bala. Hey, Linda.
Hello, you handsome man. How are you, honey?
Linda, I'm doing better now. How are you tonight?
Oh, my God. I'm getting ready to look at the Marlins and the baseball game. I think they play Tampa Bay. I'm not sure.
They do, yes. They're playing Tampa.
Yeah, I want to look at them. I want to watch them lose. But anyway, you talk – let me get my Phillies. Of course, you know, I've been calling, and I am just positive as heck. And you know something, honey? Two things. Not anybody in baseball is sure of their fourth and fifth pitchers. That's why they brought so many, all of them, brought so many pitchers with them. Because they don't know who's going to do what when or who's better here or there. They'll figure that out. And if the Phillies need something, Joe, you know Dombrowski's not going to sit on his laurels. He's going to rock and roll on the trade deadline. I ain't worried about him.
Yeah, he's never a guy that will sit on his laurels. He's always looking to make a move.
Yeah, and the thing is, well, I got to say this. I love you. You're a sweetheart. You know, I wasn't sure about you because you were so negative. But you have the best callers. You know, the nighttime has, that's my family, the nighttime, because I'm like a vampire over here. And last night I had a peanut butter and jelly. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Wheat toast, crunchy peanut butter, and grape jelly.
Well, I like that you toasted it, Linda. I like that.
Oh, it's delicious. And I'll tell you one weird thing, because my favorite sandwich, you're going to laugh at it. It's a grilled cheese sandwich is my favorite sandwich.
Now, do you put anything on there, like a tomato or a bacon or just the straight cheese?
Straight cheese, delicious. And when I lived in London, you know what we ate a lot of?
What's that?
Cucumber sandwiches.
So what do you put on there?
With the crust taken off.
So you put mayonnaise on there? Like, what's the base? What else?
No, just cucumber.
Just cucumbers.
Cucumber and onion. And you took the crust off. That's what we ate a lot of them during tea time, honey.
Listen, Linda, I love this call. You enjoy the baseball night. We'll talk soon, okay?
I love you. Bye, baby.
Bye, Linda. I'll eat a cucumber sandwich. You ever have a cucumber sandwich in there?
No, but I do enjoy a grilled cheese every now and again.
Yeah, I mean, who doesn't love like a grilled cheese?
I mean, that's like a top three lunch item.
I would probably say that of the sandwiches we've talked about so far in the last 10 minutes of the show, grilled cheese and peanut butter and jelly are two of the ones I make the most often. One, they're easy, and usually kids like them. They're very popular when you're trying to figure out lunch for young children. It's like, well, you want peanut butter and jelly today, or you want grilled cheese?
They can't figure out their own lunch?
No. 6 and 3?
I mean, that's almost 9.
No, it's, well, combined, yes, but not as each individual's. No, they can't figure out their own lunch. That's me. 215-592-9494. I'm blown away. Like, once in a while, I get blown away around here. The fact that Tucker's ever had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich is appalling. Like, I'm appalled. Like, I'm more upset about this than watching Carson Wentz throw the ball to the other team. This bothers me more. Like, and the fact that he won't eat one if I bring one in, like, I'll make it.
I have zero interest.
But it's so good. Like that's the part. Like, think about how popular the sandwich is. Usually when things are very popular, there's a reason for it.
And you know, I will try things that are popular.
Well, there you go. So,
but that usually is, you know, TV shows and movies and things.
Well, I mean, this is gonna outlast all those things. It's peanut butter and jelly. 215-592-9494. The Phillies win yesterday. And look, the way I feel about this team right now is that looked and felt different. 3 1/3 from the bullpen, scoreless. The defense, how many games last year did the defense make plays that we talked about the next day? A DD, you know, over-the-shoulder catch, a throw from Quinn that was a good throw. Not going to call it a great throw because it bounced a couple times, but a good throw by Roman Quinn to get the runner at home plate in the 10th. Alec Bohm with the jump catch that I'd say very few third basemen can make because very few third basemen are as tall and long as Alec Bohm. I mean, they made game-changing plays yesterday. Nola was good. The offense grinded down Max Fried. Like, that felt and looked like a playoff team to me. And my gut feeling is tonight, after watching that game yesterday, this is different. This feels and looks more like a playoff team than I thought, and more than we've seen around here in a long time. 215-592-9494 to hop in. Agree or disagree? Does your gut feeling say, we've got something different now? This is a playoff-caliber team. I think so. Tucker, Mr. No Peanut Butter and Jelly, does not. Let's talk to Steve, who is down in Tampa. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Joe.
How are you?
Fine. How are you?
Good. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, first of all, I used to have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. However, I found out a different way. I have white bread, smooth peanut butter, But I bought strawberries at the store, sliced the strawberries, and put the strawberries on top of the peanut butter. Fantastic. Fresh strawberries.
That sounds very good. Now, does it matter how ripe the strawberries are? Because I think the texture would be interesting if they are, if you just bought the strawberries, right, they're a little bit harder, that versus if you have them for a few days, they're softer.
That's true. You get them at the store in a little package, one-pound packages or whatever. I got to ask you a few questions because I haven't been paying attention for the past couple of days. They're moving the All-Star game from Atlanta for reasons of the state change their voting laws or whatever.
Right.
It's not the first time it happened. I know they moved the Super Bowl from Arizona. They moved the NCAA thing from North Carolina.
Yeah, and the NBA, Steve, a few years ago moved the All-Star game out of Charlotte for a legislation.
Right. That's correct. Do you think that the NCAA, do you think professional sports has now become an arm of the politics of the country?
It's an interesting question. It's obviously a question that keeps coming up because, you know, these things keep changing and leagues are making changes. What I would say is that leagues now are obviously very attuned to what the public thinks and very attuned to what their players and their players' associations think. So I think they're going to go along with the path of least resistance from their own, people. We saw this with the NBA during the summer. It's now baseball. Like, if the players or the Players Association wants to go a certain way, I think the league is just going to go that way. So it's kind of easier for them.
Well, I'll tell you, Joe, I think in the background that the baseball is trying to make points with the union for next year's contract. Hey, we took this game out of Atlanta because we didn't like what was going on, and we moved it, and we want some help from you guys too.
You know what? It's an interesting point. It's almost like it's not altruistic what they're doing. Like, maybe another motive, but that's a good point.
You know, I mean, they do have a contract coming up, and they could say when they negotiate, hey, look what we did. We took a game out of Atlanta honoring Hank Aaron, and we moved it because we did not want no problems, and we thought it was not right. So there you go. One other thing before I leave you. I think baseball is becoming a circus. They want to make the pitchers step off the rubber before they throw to first base. They want the infielders to have their feet on the dirt instead of the outfield. I mean, starting in the extra innings, a runner on second base is basically a joke. You might as well have a home run hitting contest in a tie game. I mean, it's not baseball anymore.
Yeah,
no,
Steve, I love it though. I think the 10th inning is so exciting. It added. I would say excitement. It added strategy and it added action right away.
Yeah, but why not start the runner on first base instead of second? So a base hit won't win a game.
Well, because I think that's what they want, right? They want the element of almost like a sudden death. And Steve, I always appreciate the call. I mean, you could do that, right? You could go with the runner on first base, but I don't have the numbers in front of me. I would imagine runner on first base, nobody out, versus runner on second base, nobody out. The percentage of times or percentage chance you score in the inning, it's a significant difference. I don't know what it is. Like, maybe it's 20% of innings that start with a runner on first base, no out, you score, and maybe it's closer to 30 or 40 when you have a runner on second. Like, I'd imagine it's a big difference. And also, like, there's not, like, the strategy's different with just the runner on first. You can just leave it alone and play for the double play. You can't do that with the runner on second base. You have to either walk a guy on purpose or bunt him over or whatever. So I like it. I think what happened yesterday, 5 games yesterday went into extra innings, which has to be some sort of opening day record. Like, how does that happen? I mean, what percentage of games go to extra innings anyway? 5%? And for 5 to go to extra innings on opening day? It's crazy. And they didn't even have, what, 2 of the scheduled games yesterday didn't play. The Mets and Nationals didn't play. And then the Baltimore-Boston game was postponed until today. So 5 of
13?
Like, how does that happen? It did. I mean, it's great because it led to a lot of talk about this rule that was there last year. But yesterday was the first time, that fans got to watch it in person. 215-592-9494. As we talk about the Phillies, my gut today is telling me We just watched the playoff team yesterday. Like, that team looked and felt different. Agree, disagree. Tucker thinks I'm crazy on this. And then what is your ideal peanut butter and jelly sandwich on National Peanut Butter and Jelly Day? Tucker's never had one. I go strawberry jam, creamy peanut butter, wheat bread. Maz in Jersey's up. What's up, Maz?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Maz. What are you thinking here?
I'm thinking the peanut butter is great, but you put a little fluffernutter in there. You remember that?
Oh, of course.
I mean, a little fluffernutter with banana. My mom used to make that for me. That would take you through breakfast and lunch sometimes.
Yeah, that would fill you up. I haven't had a sandwich with fluff on it in a long time.
Me neither. You got me thinking about it. I might stop at ShopRite on my way home.
You know what, Maz? You do that, and then next week you call and tell me how that fluff sandwich was, all right?
And I'm going to go over the top and go crunchy.
Oh, wow. See, now we're talking. Hey, listen, it's Friday night. Go crazy. A little fluff and peanut butter. Why not?
You got to go somewhere with it.
You do. What Maz, go ahead, man.
What do you think about Jalen Hurts? He changed his number to number one. Is he getting overconfident already? I mean, what is that all about?
I don't know why he did. I mean, he wore one at Oklahoma. He wore two at Alabama. He wore
well,
one at Oklahoma.
Right from the beginning? Do we have somebody with that number already?
We did. Yeah, Cam Johnson was number one last year, the punter.
Oh, I got you. That's right. Let a punter have the number before your starting quarterback.
Well, he wasn't the starter, right? He was just the backup last year. But now, you know, Cam is gone, so now it goes to him. Maz, I appreciate it. As far as the number one, look, I'll just say this. There's a lot more exciting quarterbacks that have wore number one rather than number two. Like, when I close my eyes, I think about number one, I think about Warren Moon, Cam Newton, both number ones. Kyler Murray now is a number one. Mike Vick, very late in his career, wore one for a year or two.
Like, there's Steelers.
Yes, there's some excitement to number one. Number two didn't hold much excitement. Like, Jalen Hurts' game fits one better than two.
I mean, I was very much anti-number two.
Oh, you were?
This is a big move, I think, for Jalen Hurts.
So do you think he's got a better chance to be the guy?
Yeah, I mean, I think when we track the trajectory of Jalen Hurts' career when he retires, yeah. I think this offseason will be a pivotal one, and the moves ranked from most important to least important will be number changed from two to one. And then behind that is the trade of Carson Wentz to Indianapolis.
It's hard to argue right now. The move to number one is a career changer for Jalen Hurts. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop in. We're talking Phillies here. The night after opening day, I believe we just watched a playoff team yesterday. That felt different. My gut feeling is, forget my head was telling me all offseason, my head telling me the projections are this, the projections are that, forget that. My gut is telling me tonight, the Phillies are a playoff team. That looked and felt with the bullpen, Nola, offense, defense, that was a playoff team. Do you agree? 215-592-9494. And when you call in, it is National Peanut Butter and Jelly Day. And I'm assuming, unlike Tucker over here, you've had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich in your life. I mean, I've had hundreds, maybe thousands. I mean, who knows at this point? I've had a lot. What's your ideal peanut butter and jelly? I go wheat bread, strawberry jam, or the preserves, but the strawberry flavored jam. And creamy peanut butter. What is your ideal peanut butter jelly? 215-592-9494. We'll come back. A lot to get into, including the frustrating Ben Simmons and the frustrating Rhys Hoskins on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.